one please God. Paul offers us a model, an example of how to behave. It can be read as Paul defending himself, Silas and Timothy, against all the allegations that were being made against them. It can seem almost arrogant, goody-goody. But Paul is almost certainly contrasting his behavior with that of the many other itinerant preachers of the times. And he was facing all kinds of opposition. He'd been very hurt and badly treated by his experience in Philippi, recorded in Acts 16. You remember the story. He'd ended up in court because the owners of a slave girl were furious with him because he'd summoned an evil spirit out of her, and they'd been making money out of her because of her fortune-telling. Her owners alleged that Paul was advocating legal customs, so Paul and Silas were flogged, thrown into prison. And as they were singing hymns in prison, there was an earthquake, and the jailer was terrified because he thought they'd escaped. But Paul was still there, and the jailer then asked how he could be saved, and his whole family was baptized. When the magistrate wanted to let them go, Paul pointed out that they'd been punished and imprisoned without trial, and that they were Roman citizens, which scared the magistrates a bit, and they were conducted out of the city. Now Paul tells the Thessalonians very clearly that the way he lives and works and preaches is the example he wants them to try to follow. He offers a pattern of life whenever he was with the church, and he trained others to be like him. Do you remember him telling Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 to set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity? That's what he had done for Timothy. And it's good advice for us too. Firstly, motives are to be pure, not impure. How often are we tempted to do things because of a selfish motive? Or because we want to please other people? Or we want to seek praise from them? No trickery, no cunning used for personal profit, no flattery, no cover-up. Our motives should be to please God. And in doing that, we are likely to please other people too. We must be honest and not be out to trick people or be deceitful. Perhaps we should think about what our motives have been during each day. Are there times when we do things simply because we feel like it, forgetting about God, regardless of him or anyone else? And even more, how often do we fail to do the things we should? So, firstly, pure motives. Secondly, lives worthy of God. Paul stresses the need for integrity in lifestyle and in the message that he was preaching. Their behavior and ours should be beyond reproach, blameless, lives that God would approve of wholeheartedly. Paul speaks of being like a nurse caring tenderly for God's children with gentleness inspired by God. Like a mother with her children, gentle, caring, loving and sharing. But like the best kind of father too, encouraging and supporting. He wanted to avoid anything that might lead to doubts about the integrity of the message that God had called him to convey. And that should be true for us too, that we live the lives that God wants us to live. Pure motives, lives worthy of God. Thirdly, loving hard work. Paul worked hard. The Greeks despised manual labor. They viewed it as only fit for slaves. But Paul wasn't ashamed to work hard and to support himself by working rather than making financial demands on the people he met. And Paul says that he hasn't imposed on them. Even though the apostles were entitled to be supported by the church, he didn't want to be a burden on other people. He didn't want to use his status to take advantage of them. He didn't want to ride roughshod over other people. Pure motives, lives worthy of God, hard work, and fourthly, boldness. Despite that bad experience in Philippi, Paul was bold and courageous. God had given him a job to do, to preach a gospel to the Gentiles primarily in a way that would please God. But he was also bold in being prepared to challenge where he thought people were getting it wrong. He reminds them how when he was first in Thessalonica, Acts 17, he had been God's instrument in converting Jews and Gentiles to belief in Jesus as Savior. But other Jews in the synagogue were jealous of his success in his teaching and had rounded up a Gentile mob in the marketplace to start a riot in the city, saying that Paul and his followers were committing treason by making Jesus king rather than Caesar. Paul loved the Jews. He was a Jew. But he didn't hesitate to rebuke them. He was prepared to challenge. Are we? Even though they were experiencing persecution, endurance encouraged them to see that experience as part of the longer-term pattern of response to God's word, and to give them confidence to keep on going despite their suffering. Now, we may not have to suffer the same kinds of persecution or hostility for our faith. And if we do, as individuals or as a church, then it can be seen as part of God's bigger plan and mean that we are sharing in the suffering of God's true people. Sometimes we can look back after a period of suffering and see how God has moved in it. Receiving, accepting, and believing the word of God may bring challenge, even from those very close to us. But any suffering or persecution places us in solidarity with the early church, with Paul, with the prophets, with Jesus himself, and we will be vindicated by God. Paul rejects the common wisdom about how to get things done and speaks of how we should live in the context in which we live, the context in which we work, the context in which we enjoy our leisure time, our holidays. And to do this, Paul suggests that the Thessalonians imitate him as he tries to imitate Jesus, as we should too, with pure motives, with lives worthy of God, with hard work, with courage and boldness. And that will help us to have a clearer sense of priorities, a clearer sense of concern for the integrity of the gospel, a clear sense of love and commitment to the people we meet, and a clear sense of the goal that God wants us to be working towards. What could be a better purpose in life than that? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray in the words of Paul to the Philippians, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, help us to think about and do these things in imitation of Paul and of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.